Grading work, as Lynn Farrar, a Southern Pacific historian, described it, uses pick-and-shovel work most efficiently when low cuts or fills, 1.5 to 2 feet, are required. The location surveyors always tried to find a line that would balance the grading between cuts and fills so that there would be a minimal amount of moving of material. For 7 miles beyond Newcastle, the cuts and fills were said by the Sacramento Union to be as great as any found in the nation. Bloomer Cut, just beyond Newcastle, would take months to complete. It was a 63-foot deep cut that ran 800 feet long, composed of naturally cemented gravel that had to be moved out one wheelbarrow at a time. The working men used black powder to loosen up the gravel at Bloomer. After the blast, the men used picks and shovels to fill their wheelbarrows or one-horse carts and move the gravel out. The wedge they cut had almost vertical walls. How many sore, blistered, bleeding hands the Bloomer cut required was not recorded, or how many damaged backs or crushed knees. The men's boss on the spot was James Harvey Strobridge. He was 37 years old, out of Ireland, over 6 feet in height, agile, energetic. He could curse with the men and lose his temper at any moment. He had worked on railroads in the East, then come to California, where he had worked for Crocker before being promoted. Crocker later recalled, "I used to quarrel with Strobridge when I first went in. Said I, 'Don't talk so to the men. They are human creatures. Don't talk so roughly to them.' Said he, 'You have got to do it, and you will come to it. You cannot talk to them as though you were talking to gentlemen, because they are not gentlemen. They are about as near brutes as they can get.' I found out that it was true." More bad news. Strobridge lost the sight of his right eye at Bloomer Cut when black powder was delayed and ended up exploding in his face. The Sacramento Union didn't write about such things. It was always upbeat. This was because it wanted the railroad built. Furthermore, the Big Four had decided on a policy that would later be widely adopted by 20th century corporations, which was to do everything possible to attract favorable mention from the media. In this case, little or no money changed hands, but the editor of the union did accept $2,000 worth of CP stock in 1863 and another $1,600 worth in 1864. His reporter in Washington got another 10 shares. These bribes, called gifts, were charged to the CP's construction account. Excursions were a way to generate excitement. On March 19, 1864, the CP provided an excursion to the end of track, then 22 miles out, for nearly two-thirds of the California state legislature, plus their families and friends. Governor Stanford led the way along with a brass band. The weather was fine. The legislators voted a month later to guarantee the CP's bond interest.